Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Congratulations!
Honeymoon, here we come! Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Yeah, baby, the hashtag Friday Football Fiesta rolls on. It's the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you as we roll through the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment you'll find anywhere on the radio. If you ask my mom, she'll tell you it's good to be back with you. I am Rob Brown. That gentleman over there is the great one, Lonzo. And now, joining us on the radio program, a couple of young men that you can hear on the Moving the Chains pod as they break down high school football. You'd probably talk a little college ball with them if you wanted to. We'll get Kev's thoughts on his Clemson Tigers here in just a couple of minutes. But before we get there, ladies and gentlemen, it is the hashtag Friday Football Fiesta. And on Friday, we go under the lights around the upstate of South Carolina for a little high school football to break down all the big games happening around the upstate from the Moving the Chains pod, which you can find on their website at movingchains.com. That handle is good for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And, of course, the podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever major podcasts are found. Kevin Thomas, Jarrell Hendricks joining the show. Boys, happy Friday. How we doing, fellas?
Happy Friday, man. A blessed day to be on the show with you again, as always.
Kev said happy Friday.
Yeah.
Kev said happy Friday.
Right.
Yeah, I heard that. Did. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I used to say I shouldn't say it anymore.
Yeah,
now Kev brought Friday to the
he's
show.
He's younger than you, though.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. Good.
Marginal.
What's up, Jarrell? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Good.
It's a good run. My background's not too bad today.
No,
who knows what's going to happen.
Well, I appreciate the fact that the last couple of weeks Kev's been showing up with the top button done. All right, he's got boom mic stands. My man's looking like and you shamed him into showing up into a hoodie with the most beige background I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got to humble him. You know how Kevin can get the big head from time to time. You guys work with him. You know how he is. So, just want to make sure we turn it down a little bit.
Fair enough. I respect it. Boys, let's get into a little local high school football. And we'll start it off with a game you will hear right here on the Fan Upstate. The dulcet tones of the voice of the Burns Rebels, Cole Bryson, back on the mic as Eastside travels to Burns. I know the Rebels mighty disappointed about the way that last Friday night went in a rivalry game, Jarrell Hendricks, but they get the chance to get back to the crib and try to get back right tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just been a roller coaster of a season for these Burns Rebels. I mean, high expectations coming into it, opening up that new stadium, finally getting to play some home games this year. And again, we talk about the star players they have each and every week. And it's just been up and down. And again, they're 4-3 right now, middle of the pack, 2-2 in region. The three losses they have this year are no slouch teams. I mean, they've lost to Irmo, lost to Dorman, and then last week to Gaffney. So it's not like it's the end of the world. But when you're a Burns Rebel and a Burns Rebel fan, you expect to win a lot, a higher percentage of those games. This team is just too talented, I feel like, to be sitting at that record right now. I think they get right this week. This Eastside team, it's crazy to say it's a must-win game. It's cliche for both teams because every game is a must-win. Why else would you play? You play to win the game, to quote Denny Green there. But Eastside, you know, they have gone 0-4 in region. They have been so close. The offense has been great running behind Schrader, Workman, and obviously Tankersley there, but the defense has just let them down. All four region games they've lost, they've given up at least 40 points. I don't see that slowing down tonight with this Burns bunch. I think the Rebels get right, but it should be an entertaining game nonetheless.
It is very interesting to see what this team, as you pointed out, the roller coaster has bounced up and down, back and forth. So I ask both of you fellas, if you've got one to answer this question, what does Burns do to find that consistency? Because we've seen him play exceptionally well. We've also seen him make some mistakes and just give a few away. What is the difference between those two Burns Rebels teams?
That's a great question, Rob, because, you know, like we mentioned every week, like Darrell said, you know, they've got talent all over the field. I mean, they got two of the best running backs in the state with Segura and Fuller. They've got Harris out wide, who's just an explosive playmaker. And it's like they cannot quite – I don't know if they don't have an identity. I don't know what it is offensively, but it feels like you got to have a better system to make sure those guys stay involved. You know whether that's, you know, just I don't know, you hand it to Cigar, throw 25 times and you make sure Harris touches it 10 times. You got to do something where they get the ball in their hands more often and it's not just so sporadic here and there, I guess. I think it would be a big key for me.
Go ahead, Jerome.
I think the offense is kind of the microcosm of the entire team. It just seems like every time we see them play, we see highlights, it's just so predicated on the big play. It's never like a drive, it doesn't seem like. It seems like if you see a highlight, it's Chu Harris going for 70 or Segura's breaking a 50-yard touchdown, and that's just not something that you can sustain in football. So I think that's kind of what it is with this team.
All right, let's jump into a few more games coming up today. Kev, Woodruff at the crib hosting MVP.
De facto region title game here. A thriller last year. MVP won by two behind an awesome, you know, one-handed touchdown catch from Katie Hainsworth. MVP undefeated this year. They are 19-1 in their program history, Rob. Pretty impressive for a startup school here. Just getting on the grass last year. Woodruff has one loss themselves. It's homecoming tonight for Woodruff. They've got their playmakers, Aiden Gibson, Corey Motes, first-year starter quarterback Connor Davis. I think everybody should be healthy for them. They should be full strength. MVP comes in with Mac Anderson, averaging 200-plus throwing and 100-plus rushing each week. He's a stud. I mentioned Hainsworth earlier, and probably the fastest guy you will see play in the upstate this year. Absolute speed demon there defensively. McAllister and Loveless and that crew can really wreck things for them. This is going to be a fantastic football game. I'm thinking a lot of points in here, Rob. It's going to come down to, you know, Drew, I talked about it on our show on Tuesday, which playmaker makes a play late in the game. You know what I mean? Who's going to step up and be the guy? Like, this is a game that is that tight where one spectacular special play can win a football game. I think MVP goes on the road and wins it. I'm a little bit worried about the health of Woodruff still. Just not sure if they've got all their pieces back, and if so, if they're 100%. So I'm going to go with the Stars on the road, but it should be another fantastic football game over at Varner Stadium.
I like it. Let's move on to Dixie at Ware Shoals.
Man, I love getting to highlight these types of games. These are your hometown, you know, homegrown, you know, atmospheres and situations here. Just some good 1A football. The Hornet Bowl here, both teams are the Hornets. And Dixie has kind of, you know, owned this series as of late. I think Ware Shoals only gotten about one of these out of the last 10. But this Ware Shoals bunch, man, we just want to give them a shout out. They've gone undefeated this year. Dixie's only dropped one game so far this season. So I guess we're a combined 13-1 going into it. So it should be some exciting football. Both teams want to run the football, as you see a lot of times in these lower classifications. But they can, both quarterbacks can you know, hit you with a little play action and or a little waggle, you know, some old school football there. But their bread and butter is to run the ball, play defense, both of these programs. Not to bring down the atmosphere a little bit, you know, they're playing for second place probably in this region. And that's no, you know, slight to either one of these teams because they play in a region with Abbeville, who are the kings of 1A football in this state. But it should be a fantastic environment. I'm leaning Ware Shoals in the Battle of the Hornets in this game, but it should be a lot of fun for all. And I hope that stadium gets packed tonight.
I like it. Kev, Belton Honeyapath at Crescent.
Another region title on the line. You know, BHP has been hammering everyone. They haven't played the toughest schedule, but you play who's in front of you, and they've been just blowing teams out. Crescent's had a good season as well. They got a really good receiver, Amiri Acker. He's a Liberty commit, a speedster out wide, but he is really the only playmaker that they have found so far. They need some help around him. I just don't think the Tigers have enough. I think BHP, I think they roll tonight. Tajay Watson-Martin's had a big year. I think they win big. I think they kind of lock up the region crown tonight in this ballgame.
All right, let's move on to a couple of the other games around the area. Greer at Seneca.
This one should be fun. I mean, this is a Seneca bunch. I mean, they just cannot slay that Daniel Dragon. That's their only blemish on the record this year. Really, they also, too, want to get it done on the ground. But this Greer team is one that, you know, we have really kept our eye on the last, you know, few weeks. They have played really good football, especially like the last 4 weeks, and are really scoring a lot of points. I like Seneca slightly just because they're at home, but would not be surprised if the Yellow Jackets win this game.
All right, let's go to Spartanburg at Boiling Springs.
Boiling Springs, a little bit down from what they have in the past couple of years. Still a solid bunch, but Spartanburg coming off a huge win over Dorman. You know, they kick a 50-plus yard field goal to win the football game, Rob. You don't see that much at the high school level. I mean, hats off to Coach Hodges' bunch for winning that one over Dorman last week. Spartanburg has been kind of up and down like Jarrell Mitchell with Burns earlier. You know, I think they've got three losses already, but they've played a really tough slate. Trenton Lynch at running back, I think, really makes them go. Him and a healthy Trey Burke at the quarterback spot has been a key for that bunch. I think Spartanburg goes on the road, backs up that win last week with another one. I think they put themselves in a good spot here in region play.
Blue Ridge at TR.
Man, as a TR alum, I love to see this one. This is the battle of the boonies, the Foothills feud. I mean, it's just battling for the jug as well. This is a trophy game, two communities that are essentially intertwined here. I really do enjoy this game. Throw the records out the window. I mean, of course, between these two programs, I love them. Of course, one of them dearly, hate the other. But, you know, you're not going to see, you know, state championship caliber football, but you're going to see a bunch of guys who are really playing for their school, playing for their community, and playing for their people. That being said, I'm going to be prepare myself to be let down. I think Blue Ridge is slightly better. I think Gavin Forster makes enough plays at quarterback there for the Tigers. But I'll definitely be rooting for my Devil Dogs tonight.
Gaffney Indians big win over the Rebels last week, back at the crib to host Riverside.
Riverside, a team that had a lot of high expectations, had not lived up to them so far this year. Played a much better game last week. Quarterback Gideon Marib had 5 touchdown passes. Maybe kind of starting to get right there for Coach Rochester. I don't know. Gaffney also has kind of found their stride, too. They had some turmoil earlier on in the year. They've kind of settled on a quarterback now. They got the run game really going, just kind of playing a physical style of football, kind of, you know, choke you to sleep type deal lately, it feels like, with Kirby and Hill and Bouton running it from the quarterback spot as well. I think Gaffney is rolling right now. I think they win this game. Probably a 10-14 point football game. I think the Indians are better.
Let's go to Westside at Fountain Inn.
Sneaky good game here. I think Fountain Inn is a team and a program, obviously still in its infancy, the beginning stages there, really starting to find their way. The Fury are, but Westside is a program that we all know about and talked a lot about, as they have won and contended for state titles the last few years. Had to replace a lot from those teams. Young Bear Woods, quarterback there for Westside, is really coming into his own. I think they've won their last 3 games, 2-0 in region. So it seems like they're starting to find their footing. I like the quarterback, also Sam Holliday at Fountain Inn, who does a fantastic job. But give me Westside in this one. I think they continue their winning ways. I'm not sure if Fountain Inn's ready to get over that hump.
Malden at Greenville.
Saw Greenville firsthand last week. I've got a fantastic defense, a lot of speed on that side of the football. Offensively, they struggle a little bit right now. First-year head coach Scoot Watson. Malden, a team that's on the rise. You know, they're getting better and better under, I think, third-year head coach Andre Cook now. Reddick Langston, one of our players of the week last week, had a huge game for them. They've got a lot of talent on that side of the football. Defensively, they're still kind of growing up, trying to figure it out. I think this could be a tight game here. I like Greenville, though, at home. Franklin Whitley, the defensive end, must-see player right now, just an absolute freak on the D-line for them. I think Greenville wins at home.
All right, got time for one or two more, fellas. Let's go to Hillcrest at Easley.
Yeah, this one should be fun. Rams versus the Green Wave here. Like Hillcrest quarterback Jackson Free, he's really played well down the stretch. I know Kevin got to see him play a few weeks ago, and he can really spin it. Matthew Hillstock, of course, leads that Green Wave offense on the outside there. But I think the Rams, they've really played good football, again, especially the last month, when you want to be playing good football in region play. I think the Rams are going to take over this one. But this Easley bunch, again, they're another one that they struggle on defense. I think that offense for the Rams is going to be too tough.
And we'll wrap it up with Landrum at Clinton.
Clinton basically wrapped up the region title last week with the win over Chesney. They are starting to hit on all cylinders. Javen Cook, a good chance to, I believe, reach 20 touchdowns and 1,000 yards on the season this week. I think he gets that. Landrum, not quite on the level of the Red Devils right now. Coach Fountain's bunch is gearing up for another title run.
I like it. We got Kevin Thomas. We got Jarrell Hendricks. The Moving the Chains podcast. They are on X, Instagram, Facebook under that name, movingchains.com. The podcast available wherever podcasts are found. Kev, if Kate Klubnik can't go tomorrow, what do you think?
I was worried with him, so it's not a helpful lot, Rob. I don't know.
I have no follow up.
That was good.
I have no follow up. None at all. Kevin Thomas, Jarrell Hendricks, boys, appreciate you as always, fellas. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Appreciate you, Rob. Good man.
Kevin Thomas, Jarrell Hendricks, again, the Moving the Chains podcast, movingchains.com. Use that same handle across social and pick up the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Denton Day of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime joins us next. We'll find out if he is more optimistic about Clemson than noted Clemson fan Kevin Thomas. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. The hashtag Friday Football Fiesta rolls on. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been doing this radio thing for about 18 years now. And I have come across very few people who know college football, who love college football, like my next guest knows and loves college football. That's why we have him on every Friday. Kind enough to donate some of his time is the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, also a host and producer on the BetMGM Network. Ladies and gentlemen, the illustrious, the iconic Denton Day joining us on the show. Big fella, how we doing?
I'm good, fellas. Hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing spectacular, buddy, because it's Friday. Zoe and I got like 40 more minutes. Then we're just going to pretend like we're working for the rest of the day, getting set up, because good college football starts tonight, man.
Like tonight.
Miami, yeah. Louisville tonight. And I want to get to that game and the rest of the schedule here in just a minute. But as always, love to get your thoughts on the two games coming up about the two teams that we cover here in the upstate, Denton Day. And the first, obviously, the Clemson Tigers had two games against two really bad teams in North Carolina and Boston College. They did what a team is supposed to do against really bad teams. They went out there, they laid it down, they put it on them, they won the game. Now they've got SMU, who has a tragically bad passing defense, but on the flip side, they also have Kevin Jennings and Rhett Lashley, who can throw some wrinkles at you any given game. Cade Klubnik is questionable with an ankle injury. Christopher Vezina may get the go. He's thrown 14 total passes this year for Clemson, is completing at 50%, and did so in garbage time for all 14 of those. Just your 36,000-foot view on A, this game, how it turns out, and B, what a win/loss would mean for Clemson with or without Cade Klubnik.
So the positive news for Clemson fans is that a loss doesn't really do much. The negative side of that is because you're kind of already cooked. Like there's not much of an avenue unless something really crazy happens of you getting to the heights that you were hoping you were going to get to this year. You having Cade Klubnik there is going to be huge for them. Obviously, you're going into a ACC matchup and a good team in SMU and a team that offensively can put up numbers as well as anybody in the country. With a guy that's thrown 14 passes is not exactly a sign to be very, very confident, particularly when Clemson, while they have gotten better, is not great at running the football still, right? So you got to have Cade Klubnik there, I think, if you want the best results for Clemson. That's not exactly a hot take, I don't think. Your quarterback, who is good, you know, you want him to play. I don't really know, though, if I'm being honest, Rob, how much it matters. You know, kind of like SMU, and I think they're – I think they're in a better position right now than Clemson is, and I think there might be a little bit of get back for some of the things that happened last year. So I would take SMU regardless of who plays. But the big thing for Clemson is, hey, you're not going to the playoff anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's to me, I guess, and this is probably more of a micro look at Clemson Denton Day, but that's what we do around here. If Chris Vezina comes in and doesn't look good, especially against, again, the second worst passing defense in college football, if you go by yards allowed per game, they're allowing over 315 yards per game through the air. If he comes in and he doesn't look good, then, you know, I say there are four pillars to being a good coach in college football: player acquisition, retention, development, and game day execution. If he comes in and doesn't look good, and he's been in this program as long as he's been, and he looks underdeveloped, not ready, I at that point have to question either acquisition in that you've lost the ability to find quarterbacks like you did for so many years in a row, or B, you don't have the ability to develop guys like you did for so many years in a row. If either one of those two pillars fall, the whole thing comes apart to me.
Yeah, I don't know how much fun Dabo's having as of late. And I say that not to be like tongue in cheek, but I legitimately don't know how much fun he's having with this new landscape of college football. He doesn't like it. He's been very upfront about not liking it. And then to your point, if they are now proving the inability to develop players, what are you still doing here? If you're not going to go out and get new players and you don't have a good coaching staff around to develop players, who, by the way, the guys that were helping develop players for years under Dabo, Toniele, Brett Venables, they clearly look very good at their respective positions right now. So I get it's very difficult to, you don't just find those guys laying around, right? Like those are two really good coaches that they had on the offensive and defensive side. But if you're not going to go get talent and you can't develop talent properly, you're just collecting a paycheck at that point. And that paycheck is very mighty for Dabo Swinney. So I do wonder if they lose. I guess the one down thing for Clemson, if you are a massive fan of Dabo Swinney, is the coming to Jesus moment, pun fully intended, that your program is not nearly what it once was, and there might need to be major changes.
All right, let's talk about the other squad, that is South Carolina at the crib, taking on Oklahoma. And the thought I had earlier, Denton Day, was I would love to be able to say Texas beat Oklahoma because blank. And I've narrowed it down to two reasons. Either A, John Mateer coming back off of a surgery, didn't have the grip strength to be the passer he was before the surgery, or B, and I do think this one is true, Texas genuinely has a very good defense that is not appreciated because all the focus has been on Arch Manning dating back to preseason, and that's why they beat the hell out of Oklahoma. I also, however, don't know what to make of this Oklahoma team because, and granted, it's fans on message boards, but there's a lot of them that are running with the narrative of if Brent Venables loses to South Carolina, and they believe he can, that might spell the beginning of the end for him as the HC at OU. I have been all week like, yo, I think Oklahoma -5.5 kind of feels like a layup to me against the South Carolina team that just hasn't been able to get there. But they changed up their offensive line coach. They did start to run the ball a little bit more and a little bit more successfully the last couple of weeks. I'm right on that 5.5 line right now, and I don't know which way to tilt.
Yeah, I'd push back on the Brent Venables getting fired bit. Again, I think that's just more message boards chatter. As far as your reasonings, I think both are true. as soon as Mateer threw that second interception, he should have been pulled. And that's when would you just eat it at the postgame presser. Hey, we brought him back a little too early. He clearly wasn't having it. We had to go another direction to see if we could salvage not just a game, but a rivalry game. And they did not do that. They just kind of stuck him out there. I anticipate that he will be better this week. But I guess I go back to the firing bit, Rob, because I feel like it is a fair storyline. I just don't put a whole lot of stock into it because Penn State's already open. Florida is going to be open. How much do you really want to join everybody else in that and then potentially leave yourself? Now, I don't know that they're thinking this because we're Oklahoma. We're a better job than Penn State. We're a better job than Florida, so on and so forth. Right. But how many great coaches are out there that you think you can pry away right now? Because I think we're going to start to see some schools do what Indiana did with Kurt Cignetti, which is, hey, you are rumored to take our coach. Well, we're going to pay our coach a lot of money. Because now both the Big Ten and the SEC are starting to welcome in, you know, private funds. And it's a lot easier to be able to pay these sorts of contracts. Maybe they're going to follow Michael Lombardi's lead and go to Saudi Arabia and get some money. Who knows? But I feel like the firing bit of Brent Venables is not in the immediate future. I do like him 5.5 against South Carolina. This has unfortunately been a more realistic version of what South Carolina was going to be at the preseason. I think a lot of us, myself included, were optimistic that they would take another step and an SEC that we thought was going to be very top heavy. They would join that top portion of the conference. But right now it just feels like they're in the mid card, which is kind of what they've been in for almost the entirety of Beamer's tenure here.
I do think it is fair. Can they win this game? And knowing that there is still a gauntlet ahead of them with Alabama, with Texas A&M, with Ole Miss, with, again, Clemson, who maybe they're getting better, maybe not, we'll find out. But, A, can they win this game? And, B, if they do, especially after Beamer made a coaching change, the game plan seems to be shifted up a little bit, does that give you any confidence that there is another gear for South Carolina, whether it's this year or in the future?
If they beat Oklahoma and Oklahoma beat the doors off of Texas, then yes. But because Oklahoma fell apart a little bit against Texas, it's adjusted the way that I view them. Because not only was Mateer not as functional as I was anticipating he would be, but I do think that the Oklahoma defense was not nearly as frightening as I thought it was against Texas. And Texas is very talented on offense, even regardless of how you feel about Arch Manning. They have a bunch of dudes. The reason that everyone thought Arch was going to be amazing is because they thought it would be easy for him because they have so many dudes on offense. But the way that Oklahoma defense had played, I do think there is maybe a little bit of a weakness there. And I think South Carolina can take advantage of that. I think anytime you have a mobile quarterback, you take a good defense and you put a lot of pressure on them because as crazy as it is, there are not a lot of quarterbacks in college football right now that are exceptional passers and exceptional runners. You get a bunch of guys that can do one thing really well, but not the other thing. I do feel like Lenore Sellers is in that small group that can do both of those very well. So I think there is a realm of possibility for them to beat Oklahoma. But then, as you mentioned, they got a lot of other teams on that schedule that are just going to be a doozy. So I don't know that they have, even if they do have another gear, I don't know that other gear is going to take them to the places that they were predicted to go at the beginning of the year.
All right, let's get a couple more things in here. We got a few more minutes with Denton Day, host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, producer and host on the BetMGM network. And I do want to get to the games, but I obviously have to ask you about kind of the situation that I do think involves Penn State, fire James Franklin. Matt Rhule's name has been thrown out there. Kurt Cignetti's name was thrown out there. Now, obviously, he inks an 8-year, $93 million contract with Indiana, which if you would have told me, hell, maybe even at the beginning of this year, Indiana was going to throw out a $93 million contract for a coach, I'd have called you crazy. But the thought I had, forget Penn State, was if the Indiana Hoosiers are coming off $93 million, Denton Day, I don't know that there is going to be such a thing as a premier money job anymore. Schools are going to find it if they feel like they need to. Kurt Cignetti, obviously, Indiana felt like they needed to. They're relevant for the first time maybe in my lifetime. What do you make of the future of coaching when Indiana's throwing out a $93 million deal, when Penn State's willing to pay out $49 million for James Franklin not to be the coach anymore, and now to get a top-flight coach, we'll need to at least pay $93 million for a new one. They're looking a buck 30 just to get a guy in the damn office.
Yeah, so we have changed a little bit, Rob, and I'm glad that you brought this up because I haven't really heard a ton of people mention this, and I think they should. A premier job is now in the SEC or the Big Ten. Outside of that, what colors you're wearing is pretty irrelevant because every one of these conferences have money. And like there is a historical element, like Penn State's a great example of this. There is a historical element to Penn State, and that could be enticing to some. But you also have to keep in mind the historical element is like 40 years in the past. It's not like they were a championship team 3-4 years ago and they fired James Franklin. Like they're not LSU. LSU has won 3 championships with 3 different coaches in like a 20-year span, right? Like this is not that. So there are some jobs that I would put ahead of other jobs, but I think we are now moving. And this is one of the very few benefits of the transfer portal, the NIL, and everything that has come with that. Is that as long as you're in one of those two conferences, you're going to have a lot of money. And I do think because of that, Rob, that some of the names that you need to start throwing around for a job like a Penn State or potentially a Florida when it opens, you might have to look outside of the conferences. You might have to start paying more attention to the ACC and to the Big 12 because they don't have that kind of financial security in those particular conferences. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Lane Kiffin will still get rumored for Florida. I'm not going to suggest otherwise. Florida might be one of the few jobs that Lane Kiffin would leave Ole Miss for, but Ole Miss is also paying Lane Kiffin a ton of money already. And do you want to go leave your current institution to go at what you know is a mess? Like if we know Florida is a mess, right? Like I'm just using them as an example. If we know as fans that Florida is a mess, what do you think coaches feel about it? Because we know they have like their inner working communication, right? So I don't know that there's going to be many teams that would be willing to jump ship or guys, I would say, that would be willing to jump ship for a little extra money knowing they're going into a bad situation when the place that you're currently coaching at can maybe not equal the money, but come really, really close. Or in Indiana's case, they're going to pull $11.5 million out of their rear end and they're going to keep their guy.
Yeah, I agree. I also think to go back to your first point, like there's a point where the ACC and the Big 12 effectively become coaching breeding grounds for the big conferences. Like if you get lucky and stumble into a Kurt Cignetti at hell, maybe Florida State down the line, like that guy is just waiting for his $93 million paycheck. All right, let's take a look at a few games this weekend. Denton Day, I'm interested in. We start tonight, Louisville at Miami, number 2 in the country. A lot of people starting to think Miami might be the best football team. I'm still waiting for the, I think, inevitable annual Mario Cristobal punches himself in the groin game, which is still out there. And I think it might be this one. Miller Moss is numbers going up and up. You know this is a game that matters to Jeff Brohm. This is a game I think he can go for 350 plus and 3 touchdowns and kind of stun Miami. I'm not like putting my career credibility on the line, but I do find it interesting that this lined open at 13.5. I thought it might bump to 14.5 with a bunch of Miami money. Turns out it's going the other way. Now it's Miami minus 12.5 Denton Day. I'm not ready to make this the Rob Brown upset special of the weekend, but it's on the list of considerations.
Louisville's a good team.
Yeah.
And this game is going to, I think, is going to be closer. If Miami covers, my estimation would be it might be a late score, and they cover that way. So the game is closer than the score would appear at the end. It does feel like, and I can say this now because we are entering the fall, Miami is Lucy holding the football. And there's a lot of people right now that are Charlie Brown. And they've started the run up to the football, and you are just waiting for, as you mentioned, Mario Cristobal to self implode and pull it away. I don't think it'll be this particular game, but I do think in the next 4 weeks that game will have taken place, and that mistake, whatever the mistake ends up being, that's the fun thing about Mario Cristobal. Like it could be the same thing with not kneeing when he's supposed to, or it could just be some other baffling thing that is so out of pocket right now that we aren't even thinking about it. I think Miami, though, takes care of Louisville. I do like him a lot. Like, regardless of how I feel about Mario Cristobal, from top to bottom, I do feel like the roster is as good as anyone in college football, and they feel like right now the most complete team in college football outside of the coaching.
I think that's fair. 30-second answer. Nebraska's ranked number 25. It feels like they haven't been relevant since, like, I was in high school at Minnesota minus 7.5. Is Nebraska good, or is this an illusion?
They're good. They're not great.
Fair.
Rayola's good. He's not great. He still makes some boneheaded plays. Maryland is a great example of that. You know, he had a lot of interceptions that he should not have had against that Maryland defense. It's not spectacular. So they're good, not great.
All right, couple of games. Let's just kind of run through these fast forward. LSU at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt ends like a 127 SEC game streak of being an underdog. Vandy minus 2.5 at the crib, and that line is holding. It is a day game. I got to tell you, man, like, South Carolina absolutely could have beat LSU, and I think a lot of that was because as much pressure as they got, Lenoris was able to move around. Diego Pavia can move around too, and on top of that, he'll take hits that I think Lenoris has avoided this year. I'm having a hard time, and I think LSU's a bit overrated even at number 10. I'm having a hard time not just taking Vandy for the outright upset here. Or, excuse me, it's not an upset. They're favorites. Not just taking Vandy on the money line here.
Yeah, I'm laying Vanderbilt with the 2.5. You know, if they score 25, can LSU do it? And I don't know the answer to that. And that's a very, very crazy question to not know the answer to as we are now in mid to late October.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I invoked your name on Monday because I said somebody, and I think only Denton Day may be up to the task, is going to have to explain to me how in the hell the Duke Blue Devils are favored over the Georgia Tech rambling wreck. Because I got to tell you, this set off such an alarm bell that I went, oh, if somebody in Vegas knows something, this is the biggest trap all year, and I am diving headfirst into it. Give me the wreck, Denton Day. Why is this number 1.5?
Look, Duke's a good football team, man.
Sure.
And the quarterback situation is starting to flesh itself out a little bit, and the guy's getting more comfortable. I was like you when I initially saw this. In fact, a mutual friend of ours had pointed this out to me, and I was like, whoa, hold on. I need to look at this. I sent a couple of text messages to people that I feel like are very smart and in the know about these sorts of things, and I'm riding with Duke. I think they have a good program going on over there. I'm laying the 1.5 with the Blue Devils. Part of it is because I looked at some, you know, BetMGM has this nice feature where you can look at where the public is putting its money, and like 80% of people were on Georgia Tech, and I was like, Nope, not finding myself on that side. So I'm going to take Duke. I feel bad doing so because I have a plus 550 Georgia Tech getting the college football playoff ticket. Not that this would eliminate that from happening, but I think it makes it a lot more difficult. And Georgia Tech getting to the ACC championship unbeaten, I think, is a shoo-in for them to make the college football playoff. But I do think I am riding with Duke.
Tell Ryan Horvath I said hello, by the way.
It was not Ryan Horvath, actually.
Shocking. Big Duke guy. All right, 30-second answer, last one, and I hate that I give you 30 seconds for what might be the game of the weekend, unless you, like a lot of people, believe that Ole Miss is fraudulent and will be exposed. The Rebels on the road at the Georgia Bulldogs. Despite being ranked 4 spots higher, they are a touchdown and a hook dogs to the dogs, Denton Day.
Not fraudulent. But, like, they're knocking on the door, right? I think they're going to lose this game, but I don't think they're going to lose this game in a way that makes us look back at what they did the first few weeks of the season and think that that was all just some big fraud. I think it'll be a close game because I don't think Georgia is very good. Like, I look at that number, I'm like, you guys like Gunnar Stockton that much? Because I certainly don't. But Kirby is Kirby, man. And you know, Lane Kiffin has kind of reverted back to some of his old habits. Old habits die hard. I would have maybe not called Kirby Smart fat in a press conference this week. That's just me. That feels like old Lane Kiffin, and I like newer Lane Kiffin. So I do think Georgia wins, but I don't know that I'm going to lay that number.
It does feel like a big number. Denton Day is the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, also a host and producer on the BetMGM Network, and also just an all-around good dude. You legend, you icon. Appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, fellas. Be well.
You're the best. Denton Day. You can follow him on X at the Denton Day. You can follow us into the final segment. Lonzo and I will speed run through some of our big college football games, our NFL picks, and we'll wrap the whole bad boy up. He is Lonzo. I am Rob Brown most of the time. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, a couple of final thoughts on college and professional football here on the Hashtag Friday Football Fiesta on the Rob Brown Show. Rob and Lonzo with you. Keith and TR texted the show, 844-326-3663. Keith said, so Texas beat them because of their defense, but South Carolina doesn't have a chance to beat them when we take the ball away more than anybody in the SEC. No, Keith, I didn't say you don't have a chance to beat them. In fact, quite the opposite. I said that 5.5 line feels about right, but I could see a South Carolina win. However, what it is going to be predicated by is the offensive and defensive lines for South Carolina. That's what wins and loses this game. If your defensive line can generate pressure on Ja Matiran, do not let him feel comfortable. He never got comfortable against Texas. It showed. If you can replicate that and not let or keep Ja Matiran from getting comfortable, then maybe there's a couple of mistakes in there like he committed against Texas. If you're not generating pressure on Ja Matiran, that's when I think you lose. On the flip side, You let go of your offensive line coach. You move Sean Elliott over. He takes up the offensive line. What did LSU do to beat you last week? It wasn't anything special. They brought pressure. They brought it on the left side. They got up the field. They hemmed Lenora Sellers in. If he needed to get out of the pocket, he could not go to the right to the throwing side. He had to get out to the left, or he had to just retreat backwards and try to get out of it. If your offensive line can keep a pocket around Lenora Sellers, if your offensive line can maintain the line of scrimmage, and I'm not even saying that Lenora Sellers needs to be able to, run 1,000 times or throw 1,000 times or whatever. If you can just keep the right side open so that if there is pressure from the right, Lenoris can go left. If there's pressure from the left, Lenoris can go right and he can run to the throwing side. If you can do that and run the ball, you've got a chance. But the question mark is going to be, and Cole Bryson said this on the show on Wednesday, and I thought he put it the right way, which is even if Sean Elliott takes over and the offensive line kicks a whole bunch of ass and they look great and they're disciplined and they're aggressive and they're tough and they set the edge and they hold the line and yada, 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 even if all that goes correctly, is the play calling going to be better? Because the play calling has been, to me, offensive line problem number one, play calling problem number two. Do we see play calling more reminiscent of what we saw in the game against Kentucky or more like we saw against the game against LSU? Do we see Lenora Sellers used as a run threat? Or do we see Mike Shula try to turn him into a pocket passer that he is not that? If the answer is the latter, I think you have a chance to win the game. If the answer is the former, and specifically if it's because the offensive line is getting killed, then I think you are in trouble. I think that, and just like Denton Day says, I think there is a chance you win this game. But do know that it's like a 25%, and it's going to be based on the lines on both sides. As far as Clemson SMU, listen, I'm going to pick Clemson in this game. Wait, but with like a 2% confidence level. Wait,
does it matter who the quarterback is?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely. If Chris Vezina plays, let me put it this way. If Christopher Vezina is the starter, if K can't go and Vezina starts, I will still pick Clemson. But I will pick Clemson because of Adam Randall. And because I think that the pass defense of SMU is so bad, it is worse statistically than North Carolina and Boston College's. It is so bad that you should be able to run the ball often and well enough that you can create mismatches and one-on-ones on the outside. And then I just need Chris Vezina to be an average quarterback. If he's average, you should be able to throw on this SMU team. And that alone should be able to spark 2-3 wins. Unless, if Kevin Jennings throws for 200 and runs for 100, SMU will win the game. This game is predicated by Clemson's defensive front seven. If your front seven, which is supposed to have multiple NFL draft picks on it,
say, I heard they were really good. I did hear that.
If your front seven is capable of pinning in Kevin Jennings and keeping him from 100 rushing and 200 passing, you will win this game. Regardless of the offense, you will win this game. But if you let Kevin Jennings do what he did in the fourth quarter of that game last year that made you have that thrilling walk-off, I think that is a different story. As far as the rest of the games, give me Louisville to cover 12. I actually got them earlier this week at 13.5. Give me them to cover 12.5 tonight against Miami. I think Miami wins, but I think it's a one-score game. Give me Nebraska to cover 7.5 against Minnesota. Dylan Raiola is kind of picking up the steam. Give me Vanderbilt. Lay the 2.5 at home against LSU. I think LSU's overrated. I think Vandy's defense is good enough. More importantly, I think they can move the ball maybe better than South Carolina did. I don't understand this from Denton Day either. I think Duke does have a good football team, and I think Darian Mensah is a good quarterback. But I think Haynes King is also a good quarterback, and I think this is a Brent Key special. Give me Georgia Tech plus 1.5 on the road at Duke. What was the other one? Oh, Ole Miss, Georgia. Georgia minus 7.5. I'm up in the air on this one. I think I'm going to go Ole Miss plus 7.5. I do think Georgia wins the game. I don't think they're as bad as Denton Day has made them out to be. I do think Georgia wins the football game. But I think Ole Miss keeps it close because Trinidad Chambliss is kind of that dual threat guy. I think Georgia's better than Denton gave him credit for, but I'll take that spot. Give me Alabama minus 8.5 to cover against Tennessee. It's Tennessee hate week. They orange, they dirty, they low down, they some snitches. Give me the Crimson Tide. I don't think that team's a joke. And this one being in Tuscaloosa, question is Jam Miller healthy? Answer is, doesn't matter. Ty Simpson's him. Give me the Tide minus 8.5. Give me, I think I got to take USC plus 9.5. If this was 6.5, 7.5, I might feel not as good about it. Give me the USC Trojans. This one is in Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's good, But I think after they open with three really tough games out of the gate, Notre Dame ain't played nobody, Paul, outside of very early in the season, which they lost all of them. I'm not saying USC is, you know, Matt Leinart USC. I'm saying it's a pretty good team. I'm saying it's a pretty good team, and I really like the direction that they are headed in. So give me USC to cover, not win, to cover on the road. As far as the NFL goes, Panthers-Jets, Lonzo, the line right now, let me find that line as it stands now, is Carolina -1.5 on the road at New York.
Wow. Panthers win this game.
Got to win by two or better.
Handily, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. Because of Rico.
Yeah, I don't have
to. I don't know if it's going to be Rico. At some point, that number's got to slow down. We'll find out. I'm going to go right back to the well. It's London at 9:30. Give me the Jags on the road. It's their new home stadium. Give me the Jags on the road outright win.
Who are they playing?
The LA Super Rams.
Oh, the Rams. Yeah, I'm going Rams there.
We'll find out. New Orleans at Chicago. Give me Chicago -4.5. We suck. God. Dolphins, Browns. I didn't even want to make a pick. I just want to say the Dolphins and the Browns. This is going to be awful.
Congratulations, Cleveland, on your victory.
New England -6.5 over Tennessee. Mike Vrabel is going to destroy that team. Give me Kansas City -12.5 over the Raiders. I'm not saying Kansas City's all the way back, but they're most of the way back.
You know who is back? Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice is back. By the way, Rashee, I don't need the inspirational, motivational workout videos from you, my guy. You didn't miss time because you're coming back from surgery. You missed time because you almost killed some dudes. Yeah. I don't need the motivational videos, pal. Go out there, shut your mouth, and play football. You're lucky you're allowed to come back. What is this? I'm working out. You're not inspiring anybody, guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, putting out videos is what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, if you're coming back from an injury or like, I mean, period. You got traded, whatever.
In life, if you had a good day at work, you need to go home and make a video. That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, put it on my to-do list.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
I didn't know if that meant you had something else to say.
You know what? I do. Giants +7.5 at Denver. Cam Scataboo. Give me the Giants. They're winning outright over the Broncos this weekend.
Hey, why not?
Upset special.
Why not? All right. The first thing in texting is Ace Fraley.
The lead guitarist of Kiss. You know, listen, I've said for many years, I loved Kiss growing up. Kiss is not a great band. They were a very average band, except Ace Frehley. Ace Frehley is incredible. Ace Frehley was the only talented member of Kiss. Kiss was not a good band. Kiss was a great show. Kiss was not a great band. They were entertaining. They had the fireworks and the sparklers and the makeup and the floating around in the stadium. And they were a great entertaining show. Listen, with an average band.
Love Gun is a lyrical masterpiece.
Listen, how many times have I bumped up into this bad boy singing some combination of Love Gun and Dr. Love? They call me Dr. Love. I am your doctor of love. I loved Kiss. They just weren't a great band. That's okay. You can be a not great band if you're wildly entertaining. And you don't have to be wildly entertaining if you're a great band. Except Ace Frehley. Ace Frehley was an icon. And I will. There are two guitars I want to retire with. One, Zakk Wylde's Les Paul with the target, the bullseye on it. And two, Ace Frehley's mirror SVR that he plays. That guitar is nasty. Ace Frehley, icon, RIP, brother.
This is going to be a shocker if you listen to the show all day, but I completely disagree with you, Chris. Kiss is a, now you got me calling him Chris.
Are they talented? Kiss, they're not talented. They're entertaining.
Talent. Talent is a matter of opinion.
Sure.
I mean, the talent I appreciate is not necessarily the talent
you're right.
You
talent's a matter of an opinion. But if I was to put, let's say, Ace Frehley up against me, I'm not talented. Am I talented for a local regional touring band? Sure. But I am not Ace Frehley.
All right. The next thing that's texting is Andrade.
This one's weird. So Andrade left WWE. Apparently was, we don't know if he was fired.
He got fired.
He got fired.
Because wellness policy problems.
Okay. So he got fired, which ordinarily triggers a 90-day non-compete when you leave the company. But Andrade basically said, yo, if you fired me, that non-compete doesn't matter. So he immediately shows up on AEW, but now WWE is saying it's actually a year non-compete.
Yeah, it's a new thing, according to what I'm reading, that TKO is putting into contracts. It's a year non-compete.
First off, that is going to be challenged in court, maybe by Andrade, and they're going to lose. And number two, TKO sucks.
Okay. The next thing that's Xing is Jacob Fatu.
I do not know why Jacob Fatu is Xing. I did see his cousin knock a dude out in a bathroom who was jumping in, which was a great video, but I don't think it was Jake.
All right, apparently he has a non-wrestling injury that's going to keep him out for a while after tonight.
You know what? I actually did see that. I did see that, which is too much of a bummer because it feels like every time that dude starts to get close to the run, something dumb happens.
Yeah, because he was also talking to Cody. He's wrestling Drew tonight. And, yeah. All right, the last thing that's texting is Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer, 41 years old, 5.2, looked like an ace last night. The Jays tie up the ALCS with the Mariners 2-2. Dodgers up 3-0 on Milwaukee. They'll try to shut them down out tonight. We'll talk a bunch of baseball on Monday. We'll set you up because at that point, we will either have or we'll be one game away from having our World Series set. We'll talk all about the football weekend. Have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. I will punch you in the face. We'll see you next Monday to break everything down on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold. Listening to this music while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
Ugh, that bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.